truth.
The truth. You know, we live in a world where it's hard to just be yourself sometimes, isn't it? It's hard to be who you are. And I can remember hearing people that I really admired in leadership, and I thought, I want to be like them, and then I tried to be like them, and it didn't work. And then I've had people tell me what I ought to do, and what I ought to do is different from having to say what you ought to do. And then I've had people come and preach for us, and I've had people say, you didn't preach like that. And I think, no, you just need to shut up. Let me preach the way I preach, right? Amen. And because there's always people telling you what you know what you need to do, or you know what you really need to do. And you'll have people in talk, and then you'll have peers that you'll admire, and you'll think, I'd like to be like them. I'd like to be like them. And heaven knows that you are created and fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God, and you're unique. Nobody like you is a whole lot of the world. And so just be you. This is God created you. When God calls me to preach, he loves country. And so when I preach, you can hear country. How many can hear country when I preach?
Yeah.
When God gave me songs to sing, I was country. And how many knows you can hear country when I sing? Yeah. God has put something unique in you, and to be able to play the piano like you play in, that's a gift from God. And I'd like you to do something at 55 when you get married finally. Just play for your husband. Use your gifts for the ones you love the most. You know? What kind of gifts has God put in you? Let's use them for your family. One of the gifts that I think I have is that I like to have fun. And so I try to teach our kids how to have fun. Just be who you are and have fun. We were standing back there a while ago, and Addie, we were coming over this evening to go swimming, and she said, Penny, what car did you drive? She said, I'm in my company car, because she has a company car she's going to. And she said, oh. And she said, Papa, what car did you drive? I said, I'm in a nanny's car. She said, did you get my car seat? I said, no. She said, oh. I just get on it, because she's just being Addie. That's what God put in her. So we'll have to pray for her now, pray for her husband, and she gets one. You know. She pick up the bread? No. Yeah. She's just added. So just be you. Just be you. That's God created you. And I'm telling you, you hear all kinds of voices and things to be this and that. But just be you, because God wants to enjoy you right where you are, and as a person that he created you to be. I look around the room, I see all the different personalities, and how much fun in your own unique way that we've had over the years, because you're just you. You're just who you are. And your personality, let it come through. Let God shine through you. You have your chore this morning, ready to learn? It's 11:11, and I'll be out before 12. Come and say amen. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can learn what it says I can learn. I can go where it says I can go. In Jesus' name. Amen. In Mark, the 12th chapter, this has become so real to me. And when I was thinking, what I want to say to our graduates today, and I thought, I came back to this because it's just become such a guide in my life. And it's simple, but it's powerful. In Mark 12:30, it says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. This is the first commandment. This is the first commandment. Just, you know, and if you want your life to go well, I can tell you, if you'll just, first of all in your life, just love God. You know, and how do you love somebody? Well, you love them by having a relationship with them. That's how you love them. When you're apart, it's just hard to love people, isn't it? I mean, there's just something about being with the person you love. When Janice said, I just want to ride the gold wing with my husband. that blood, that's good stuff for me. I'm glad she wants to ride with me. Because it's about being with him. And if you want to love God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul, spend time with him. And there's something about the verse like in Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. How many knows we've got a lot of things anymore going on in our lives and in this world? And it gets real complicated, but God made it really simple. And when you're going through college exams, and you're going through whatever you're going through, and or maybe it's in business and you're over your head, and just remember, seek him in the kingdom first, and all these things. Who knows God made us in business? He made us in everything. Wherever you are, family relationships, problem solving, God made us in all that stuff. In fact, if you study the scriptures, you'll see in the Bible that every time there's a problem, King David, he said, which is a man after my own heart, was always seeking the face of God. And it didn't matter how bad it was, David would say, what do you think about it, God? And if God said, go, David just went. Didn't matter how big the giant was, when he looked at Goliath and everybody else was intimidated, David was not intimidated because he said, I come to you, big guy, in the name of the Lord. I've already talked to God, and he's bigger than you, and he's on my side, and he's going to guide my rock. How many believe that God's bigger than your enemies, bigger than any trouble you can go through, they're bigger than any trial that you could ever have, and you and the Lord are the majority. So just fall in love with Jesus is the best thing I can give you. Just seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and love the Lord with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul, because he makes everything better. Now, here's one way that God interprets love, and that is, if you love me, he said, you will keep my commandments. And every time that the world says, here's what you need to do, everybody's doing it, but it contradicts this, how many knows God said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so it doesn't matter if everybody's doing it or not, just don't do it. Just don't do it. Keep his commandments and fall in love with Jesus. I'm telling you, it's a good life, isn't it? When we fall in love with God, and he's our best friend, and we're living and loving him, it's a great life. So love him. And so be true to God. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, obedience is better than sacrifice. Just be obedient to God and love him. Be true to God. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is good God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. God's got a purpose and a plan for you. He's got a purpose and a plan for you. Work on that. Find that niche. Find that place that he's carved out for you. And it's a great life. So be true to God. And then he says in here in verse 31, and the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. There is no greater commandment than these. You can't improve on this, is what he's saying. And so the second thing I'd like to tell you is just be true to yourself. Be true to yourself. Be who you are. Now, part of being true to yourself is just be versus doing. You've ever heard of that? My coach asked me this back in the fall. He said, let me ask you something, Jack. He said, have you ever thought about being versus doing? Because all you that are task-oriented, we just have to get stuff done. Well, why do you have to get done? Well, because it needs to be done. And we put more emphasis on life being fulfilling and about fulfilling us upon doing stuff than we are just about being. Just being. And one of the things I'd encourage you students to do when you graduate is just enjoy being. Yesterday we were down at a family gathering and they have a little we have a little grand be my great niece and she her name is Aubrey, and we were sitting there out on the porch and visiting with family, and her daddy said, she can say Aubrey. And her daddy has a twin brother, it's Travis and Trevor, and Trevor says, or Travis says, I've never heard her say that. And her daddy says, well, you just haven't been around her as much as I have, and I've heard her say it. And all of a sudden, we're sitting there, and we're busy, and we're just having conversation, and she says, I'm saved. Now, one day, she was just being, wasn't she? She was just being. She wasn't doing a great feat. She was just being her and saying this little word that she said. And all of a sudden, have you ever been to somebody's house? This happened to us yesterday at the family gathering as well. We're all sitting around and it's time to clean up. And Janice says, let me help you all clean up. We got to get back on our bike and go home. And then, oh, no, don't clean up. Just sit down and visit with us. You ever had anybody say that? Just sit down and visit with us while you're here. And let's just spend time together. Don't clean up. We'll do that after you're gone. You ever had people say that to you? You know what they're saying to you? It's more about you being than it is about you doing something. I don't want you over here to help me. I just want to enjoy your time together. Remember in the beginning of the Bible, the Bible says that God would come down and visit with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. Remember that? God just wants to visit with you. You know where we get that from? We get that from God, where we just want to sit and visit. While Owen was over, and he was talking to Paul, and the service began, I said, you need to go find your seat, search for instructions. Then it's visiting me. He said, who would I talk to? I need to talk to him. It's not starting until I'm too busy. Who do I need to talk to again? Just being Owen. I love that. I love that. And I've watched Jared over the years, as Owen says stuff like this, super. But you love it, don't you?
Yeah, it's
about being. Let me ask you this, for you parents, when do you enjoy your kids the most? When they're just being who they are, or when they're out doing the task? You love them most when they're just being who they are, right? I mean, we like it when they're obedient, we like it when they achieve and all that stuff, we're proud of them as well. But the most time that we love them is just when they're being who they are. That's what I love about vacation. You don't have stuff to do. You don't have things to go see about. You're just being who you are and enjoying the day. Here's your verse you need to take with you. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Somebody's found out. Somebody's lived long enough to find out that life's going to challenge that statement. That's a good statement to take with you. This is a day. In fact, I would challenge you guys to get up every morning and say, this is a day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It's one of the choices you have in life. It's to rejoice or stress. How many, on a show of hands, some days you just choose to stress. Let me see your hand. Look at all the liars in the building with their hands. Isn't it amazing how God has given us the power and the ability to get up and enjoy the day? Some writers believe that was David, and he said it when Saul was after him. He made that statement, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. When Saul was hunting him down like some sort of an animal trying to kill him, and David gets up and makes his declaration while he's hiding out in fear for his life. This is the day the Lord has made. See, my enemies may be after me. They may be bigger than me. They may have more troops. Because Saul would bring 3,000 or so after David and his 600 troops. But it didn't matter. This is the day my father has made. This is the day my dad has made. And I will rejoice and be glad in it because this is the day he's given me. And being able to choose and not stress, that's your right. And that's your ability as a Christian through the power of the Holy Spirit. I was encouraged the other day when I visited your husband, Cliff, in the hospital, and he began to speak life over himself. And the doctors just spoke him dead for it. Because he knows who his father is. And he hadn't heard the father say, time to go home. Said, if all goes well, it should be out Monday. He now said he's supposed to be out Monday. I'm telling you, life is going to bring you a challenge. And here's you one that, I don't have my notes, but here's you one you can take with you. Expect problems. They're coming whether you expect them or not. It's just not so hard if you expect God. Let me ask you something. How many people have had something that's broken down this year? And you see people that act like they don't expect anything. Oh my God! The car broke! And? Things break. I love it when the first time homeowners act like they're, my air conditioner went out, what do I do? You fix it. You call the guy, you fix it, you do whatever you do, you need to do to get it fixed. Happy, happy homeowners. And it's that way in everything. And then you have a family, and we if you don't expect problems, it just kills you. It's like it's a crisis every time. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. And so He told us we're coming. Trials are coming. Are you ready for a trial? Because I guarantee every week there's going to be some kind of trial that's coming against you and you and you and you and you and me. They're just here. But here's the key. How do you look at your trials? What do you do with your trials? How do you handle your trials? About a month or half or so ago, I was stressing out over a property I own, and I've got to get it done to set realistic goals and trying to juggle everything. And I've had some speaking engagements and all this stuff, and trying to juggle everything. And finally, I just kind of coached myself a little bit because, this is where I'm at right now, the coaching process. And I said, let me ask you a question, Jack. What are you going to do when you get this done? I said, well, I'll have other things to do. But right now, this house is costing me. My renter moved out and it's on the market. And it's on the market and I've got it coming out of my pocket. And I said, it's kind of like I'm another person almost. And says, well, let me ask you this. Do you have the money to make the payment? Well, hallelujah. Well, why do you have to get it done? I said, I don't know. I just do. Then you say, well, that's silly. No, that's not silly, because I'm telling you, you all get in that situation. Whatever your situation is. And so what I decided to do was, just calm down and enjoy the process. And guess what? Everything changed. The knots left my shoulders. And he's ever had knots in your shoulders. I mean, you just live with one big old knot. Just big old knot. I'm telling you. It's amazing that as Christians we stress out because we're not true to God and we're not true to ourselves. Be true to God. And if you don't be true to God, here's another thing you can do. Just trust Him. See? Just trust God. When we were going to Guatemala, the finances were coming in slow. And I saw a friend at the conference that I spoke at, and I said, his name was Eric, and I said, Eric, thank you for sending money early. You were one of the few donors that sent money early, and it took some stress off. Isn't it funny how we worry about God's business all the time? I mean, those God said, I'll make your provisions. If you just be a giver and a doer, I'll provide for you. That's a promise in God's Word. And then we want to help God out and stress over stuff. Guess what? Before the conference was, before the trip to Guatemala had arrived, we had not only money, but we had enough money to leave to invest in some of our business things we wanted to plant in Guatemala. So why did I stress? Why do you stress? Because we don't want to be true to what God's Word says. He says, you come to me, all your labor, heavy laden, and I will give you what? Yes. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. But we don't want to take it down. There's always going to be a voice pulling you off your true north to trust in God. It's always going to be, the economy, gas is going up. And you've noticed it at the pump already. And you interview people, fill up the car and say, what do you think, man? I should have filled up yesterday. Yesterday it is just cheaper. Well, guess what, man? That's a fact. You didn't. Chill out. Just chill out, man. For you that didn't fill up yesterday, or to die cheaper, that's a fact. It's not a problem. Just chill out. God will supply another diamond gallon for you. It's just stressing. A lot of voices will I heard a story this week, and you probably seen it. In fact, they said it made national news about some young men that came in and robbed the pharmacies. You see that on the news? And one of the kids had a gun, and he's pointing it at his face and had a mask on. And he went to the back, got his gun and shot and killed one of the kids. Cut him in the head and killed him. And then he came out, and he ran the others off, and he came back and took like four or five more bullets into the young man. And then I heard his mother say, it's not that I don't have sympathy for those parents. I can't imagine how hard that would be. But sometimes I think what we do, parents, when we're trying to teach our children, you know, to be true, to be real, to be authentic, we don't help them. We talked about this a little bit in our prayer meeting this morning. One of the mothers of the young man that was killed said, he was a good boy, he just got the wrong crowd. Now, while probably every mother in that crowd said the same thing. And here's what I want to give to the students that's graduating. Be responsible for your life. If you're hanging with bad people, you're not a good person. You know, if you're caught up in what they're doing, you're not a good person. You may have once been a good person, but the Bible teaches us as parents, when you train up, and they may not have had good training, I'm not sure about their home life, but when you have trained your children, and when I was trained, I had good training, good moral, ethical training. And when you've had good training and you choose to cross that line and get involved with people that has a gun and with intent, and you know it, to go into a store and rob somebody and possibly kill them or exchange gunfire and put everybody in danger around you, you are not a good person. And I think we do our kids and our family injustice when we call them a good person. And they're not. We need to tell them, you're not a good person. You once were, and you know better. My dad used to tell me that all the time when I came to Oklahoma City. We'd been in the club scene for a while, and he'd ask, hey, then what you been up to? And I'd just tell that, you know, we always do this. And they'd always get back to it somehow. We went up to the club or whatever, you know. And he'd say, you were raised better than that. That's what he would say. You were raised better than that. I'm like, we're not hurting anyone. We're just sitting here saying, you were raised better than that. That's all he would say. Like, I've done my job. Now you just go out and do what you want. You either take the training or you just ignore it. But you know what's wrong and what's right. And all I'm saying is own your own problems and own your own where you are. You can't have a happy life if you're always blaming somebody else for why you do what you do, and they made me mad, and they mistreated me, or they... No. People are going to mistreat you. How many have been mistreated in this building? Most of us have been mistreated. And guess what? It's not about them, it's about you. In fact, God said, here, I'll give you something. God says, you want to just cowboy up here, you want to just really grow, he said, I'll give you one. Love your enemies. That separates the men from the boys right there. Love your enemies. Right now, some of my family and my brothers, sisters, and parents have a little squabble over stuff. Remember we talked about stuff last week? Any of your family members had a squabble about stuff? And you know what? None of us have a lot of stuff. But you know, it's not equally divided out the way somebody thinks it's. We get into it about stuff. Here's just something to say. When your people are always more important than issues, it's a great statement. When you're, and life's going to hurt you. Life is going to hurt me. I'm going to offend you. You're going to offend me. That's just life. And sometimes God allows me to offend you because maybe you've gotten up on some kind of pedestal and I just fall off. And you say, what are you going to do now? The pastor just fell off the pedestal. You had him up on. What are you going to do now, Christian? And I've had people do that. Mentors that I looked at and pastors that I loved and just hurt me. And, you know, I've had that. So I said, what are you going to do now, Jack? And I said, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to the house of God and I'm going to serve you because I don't know what else to do. Just get up and go back to the house of God and begin to serve Him and love people. And I pray my little prayer, and forgive me of my sins, Lord, as I forgive those that have sinned against me. I forgive them, I release them, and I am well in the name of Jesus. And even if you, here's something, and even if you don't believe it in your heart when you're praying it, you say, I forgive him, I release him, I don't feel good with this, what I'm praying, I'm speaking, I feel like a hypocrite, that's okay, just go ahead and speak it and say it and pray it, because God said, speak it and say it and pray it, and something magical happens to you after a time when you begin releasing your enemies and praying over them and loving them. Something powerful happens, and that is that you really begin to mean it and feel it, and it comes, and it's because you've been sowing good seeds every day. According to the word of the living God. Powerful, isn't it? So just be true to yourself. Own your own failures and faults. Here's a statement, too. Experience is the best teacher. That's not actually true, is it? Here's what's true. Evaluated experience is the best teacher. When you have a bad experience, you evaluate it. You say, what would I do different? How would I change it? When I've messed up and I failed, what would I do different? How could I do this? If this happens again, which is likely, what would I do and how would I treat it differently? And an evaluated experience will make you better. Because if experience made you better, how many see people just bumping their head all their life? And then turn around and bump. They always got a crisis and always got an excuse and always got a reason why they can't. They've had all the experience, but it's not evaluated, there's no change, Here's one for the graduates. You're going to be for yourself. Ask this question every once in a while. I gave this a coaching session yesterday. Ask this every once in a while. Everybody in this room ought to ask this every once in a while. What I'm doing right now, on a daily basis, is it life-giving to me, or is it sucking the life out of me? And here's what will happen. If you'll take time to examine your life and say, what I'm doing today, is it life-giving to me or is it sucking the life out of me? And how you tell that is when you go and do this thing, or whatever it is it just draining you, dread, and you just, it's just killing me? Or is it life-giving to you? Is it something you say, I can't wait? And here's what I suggest for all the graduates. Find something that's life-giving to you. You can't wait to get up and go do that. And every day, you don't have to go to work. You get to go enjoy your day. Because here's what I've found out. Sometimes people will follow the money trail. You're seeing people follow the money trail. Why are you going to be a doctor? Because they make lots of money. You'll probably never make it as a doctor. Now, if you're a doctor, you say, I want to be a doctor. Why are you going to be a doctor? Because I want to heal people. I'm tired of seeing people suffer. You'll probably make a great doctor. Because you're in it for the right reasons. You're in it because it's stirring to you. But if you're just going because it's a big money, is it life-giving? Is it life-giving to me? Or is it sucking life from me? Is it a burden? That's a great question to ask if you want to be true to yourself. Now, let me give you another one. Play to your strengths. Play to your strengths. God's put your strengths and your gifts inside of you, and you use those gifts, and there's just something powerful about that, about playing to your strengths, using your strength. You know, like if you can play the keyboard, for instance, very well, very edifying to the group. Play to your strengths. What is your strength? God put strength in every one of you. And here's what I've learned. I don't have to worry about my weakness. God created other people to cover those. He did. Let me tell you something. If I run everything around here, we'd have no big screen. We'd have no bulletin. We probably wouldn't even know for sure what was in the bank. We'd have an approximate figure, but we wouldn't know for sure. And we wouldn't know where it went if I had to do all that. We wouldn't have a pretty garden and a mowed lawn. God will put people in around you to cover your weaknesses. Don't worry about them. Don't worry about what you can't do. Play on what you can do. Can I tell you something? When David came up to the battlefield, he knew I can kill big things that threaten God's property. He knew that. He already settled out of the sheep pen. When he went out and found him some smooth stones that God provided, he already knew because he's playing on his strength. Are you playing on the strings? If you are, you're a happy camper. Because every day you get to enjoy getting up and playing on your strings. Play to your strengths. Play to your strengths. God will send you people to cover your weaknesses. And then lastly, be true to others. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. Zig Ziglar said, if you'll help enough people get what they want, you can have anything you want. One of the greatest lessons I could give to you today as a young, excited person just graduated and ready for the next step is life is not about you. Life is not about you. Some of the most miserable people on the planet is people that think life is about me. Life's about what I want, about what I think, and about catering to me. Most miserable people on the planet. Because how many knows everything's not going to be like you want it to be? Everything that you desire is not going to come handed to you. So I would say, if you want to learn something and be a happy camper, just drop that. Life is not about me. In fact, the Bible says it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And you know why the Bible put that statement in there? It's because of what it does for you. What giving does for you. I told him this morning, I'll just tell you, it's a dream. It's not a goal, but it's a dream. And here's what a dream is. A dream is something you'd like to do and it doesn't have any wheels yet. I mean, it's got some dreams. You got big dreams. But it's got no wheels yet. Then when you put wheels on it and you start the process, that's when it becomes a goal. This is my first step. This is my second. This is a clear picture of what I want. And here's my first step, my second step. This is where I'll be by then. That becomes a goal. That's what converts a dream into a goal. And so this don't have any wheels on it yet. But I would like to be, here's what I would like to be. And you can call it selfish if you want, but I would like to be the CEO of a multi-million-dollar business before I die. What would you like? What would you like? I'd like to be the CEO of a multi-million-dollar business before I die, because when we got back in Guatemala, I thought, I would like to have more money so I can go do more of that. That's certainly the head. When you go down and give stuff away and you bless people that don't have, and you just see them come alive and have them, you're able to just love on them and give to them. I thought, I think that would be such an exciting life. Have money and resources to just go to different countries like Dominica and Guatemala and just sow seed in the lives and watching them transform the power of the Holy Spirit. When we sow finances and resources into the life, it gets their attention. It's like, you care for me. Why are you doing all this for me? And then we get saved because Jesus loves you and Jesus has a plan for you. I heard one guy say, I'd like to be a millionaire, not because I want the money, but because of what I'd have to become to be smart enough to get there. Well, that's a good reason, isn't it? Pull your dreams out. However big they are, pull them out in the light and just look at them. Say, God, what about this dream? And that would include your neighbor. That would include something bigger than you. That would include something about helping someone else and making a change in the world where you are. Dream big, but pick someone with you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now don't forget self. Some of you just forget self. You've always put yourself last and you never... When we went to Guatemala, 67% of the people there never had been in a resort. And it wasn't a fancy, real fancy resort, but they'd never been to a resort. They never ate ice cream in a swimming pool while they were swimming. They have now, baby. Some of them never thought about ministry as giving their wives a shoulder rub. But when I told pastors to get around behind your wife, put your hand on the shoulders and say, now rub. They're loving. You can just see the wives' faces. Ooh. I said, now, man, that's ministry. And the wives say, more ministry, more ministry. And it's just so cool to do. And I thought, I need more resources so I can do more of this. that's just a new dream I have. So what are you dreaming about? What are you dreaming about? I just want to be happy. Or what are you going to do if you're happy, if you were happy? Are you going to share your happiness? If you are, I bet God will. I'm sure God will make you happy. You're going to share. Are you just going to be happy just to be happy? Be true to others. God gave you gifts and talents and abilities, not to waste on yourself, but for His glory. And enjoy it and make all you can and share that and have a good time with it. But forget about it. Don't forget. It's not about me. What I can do is about other people as well. Listen, Father, we ask that you would just bless our graduates today. That the power of the Holy Spirit, God, begin to guide them and lead them, give them favor, shine upon them, open doors, Lord, that needs to be opened, close doors that need to be closed, and give them the discernment to distinguish between the two. Lord, you have a brilliant and a wonderful plan for their life. As they launch into the next phase, we ask you to give them the direction they need. I pray that they'll develop an ear to hear the Holy Spirit as you prompt them and give them direction. And that they will know this is God's will. This is where, right in the center of God's will, this is where God wants me. Father, help them be true to you. For the obedient children of the Most High God. And to remember, Lord, that being, just being your child and being who they are, you just get a kick out of that. Just like they will with their children someday. You just really enjoy them being who they are. So the devil comes and says, what have you done with your life? What have you not accomplished? Just remind them, Lord, that you love mostly about what you love mostly about them is just being who they are. Being who you created them to be. Living life. Being a wife or a husband, mom, or business person, wherever they are, you just love that about them. You're seeing who they are, using their talents and gifts, and enjoying life. But you're thrilled with that. Just in the being. And Father, I pray that you give a heart and passion for others. That along the way, you bless them with resources and talents that they'll take time to share those and give them away. They'll take time to be a blessing where they are. And make a difference. Change lives and encourage people by their gifts and their talents and by who you've made them to be. You have a great purpose for them. You have a place in society that you've carved out just for them. Help them to find that niche and that place. And to stay in that place until you come to receive them, to take them home. In Jesus' name. Amen.